for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Nikki Six, Tracy Guns here tonight.
Hello.
All from Brides of Destruction.
Hello.
We're getting Nikki and Tracy some headphones, or as we call them in the business?
Cans.
Cans.
Yeah, we're pros.
Nice cans, Adam.
The thank you. The Brides of Destruction are going to be on... what am I looking at
What
here?
Are we going to be doing?
Well, you did, you just recently played Leno in Kilborn, yeah. And you're going to be on...
Doherty did Dennis Miller. We're getting ready to go to Europe on tour.
Uh-huh.
You're getting ready to do America first. And we're all messed up here tonight.
Yeah.
We need help.
Yeah. Tracy, best known for having founded Guns N' Roses...
Not best known.
We're off to a good start tonight.
Yeah, and then of course L.A. Guns. Right. So now, you guys were around the scene at the same time, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, Motley Crue came out before L.A. Guns did, and the reason why we kind of became friends is because I totally stole his shtick. when I was a teenager and put L.A. Guns together, kind of just modeled after, Motley Crue in a lot of ways.
And then what brought you guys together to do Brides of Destruction?
Well, we've known each other for a long time. A guy that used to be my roommate was best friends with Tracy. Tracy used to come over to the house all the time, and it was basically about music all the time, talking about music, what he likes, what I like. We like a lot of the same stuff, and we also don't understand why a lot of bands that, whether it's Led Zeppelin and, the Sex Pistols, why they're not mixed together sometimes. There's that segregation
right
in there. And that's something that we've always loved. And I'd always heard that in his music, and he heard that in mine.
That's right.
So this was an opportunity. We started talking about wanting to do something fresh that maybe we would do that.
Well, here comes the Brides, is the CD, and we're going to hear a single off of that. I guess... we're here in the first hour, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that cool, buddy?
That's cool with me. Sorry, yeah.
We get paid the same. Before I got to talk.
You guys do get paid the same?
Yeah, we get paid the same.
Really?
It's horrible.
That's not fair.
I went home and
he
broke it.
Paid what you got
I broke
paid.
It down.
Yeah,
Wait a minute.
Don't worry, he does. I get paid way more per word.
Yeah, I broke it down. I went home. You know how much I get a syllable?
Yeah.
8 cents.
That's good.
You get $1,400 a syllable.
A syllable?
It's syllable, yeah.
Come on.
It's not even a complete word. $1,400. So far, he's made $700.
Tonight.
Oh, now he's up to
$2,100.
Oh, shut up!
Stop already.
Nikki, you know that 50 by 50?
Yeah, yeah. Now I see how they're going to do it.
Yeah, this is how you do it.
Nikki's got himself a nice turbo Porsche.
Oh, you saw that, huh?
Of course. I notice every new set of wheels that lands on this parking lot.
Didn't you let him drive your car once? Was that Nikki that did that?
No. That was... who the hell let
I don't
me
remember.
That.
Oh, you guys came with cars.
I'm gonna come up with it before the night is through. Donna, Nikki's wife, Donna DiArco, who was the lovely Donna DiArco, who was in here
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, she was in here
about a month ago.
Yeah.
Drives the turbo Porsche as well. And I know this is a horrible sexist thing, but it always breaks my heart when I see chicks in really nice cars. I don't mind them like on the hood and stuff. I know they're using them like a grocery getter, and it drives me insane.
No, it's true. When Chris comes home from the market, we got a trunk this big, and it's just I just picture she pulls all the stuff out of this little tiny trunk. It's like,
yeah,
it's retarded.
It was Tommy Lee, by the way, who let me.
What do you have? Testarossa. What do you have? Testarossa.
Yeah, Testarossa. Yeah.
Testarossa.
Nice car.
Yeah.
Nice go-kart.
I know. And, I told Tommy, it's like, this is the ultimate rock and roll statement. I was like, oh, my God, you have a Ferrari Testarossa. It's a beautiful, it's a work of art. What year is it? And he goes, I don't know. And I thought, wow,
that's pretty
that's
cool.
That's rock
right?
and roll.
You are cool. Right.
How much was that?
I can't wait till he plays rock and roll again.
Yeah, just not even knowing the year. You know what I mean? That is the ultimate statement. That means you got money when you have no idea what year you're
170. I think that's just decadence.
And there's an antisocial
twist. Yeah, I mean, there's a sprinkling of
no
booze
drugs
in
there.
There.
No drug damage, of course, right?
Look who's talking.
Yeah. I'm not passing judgment. I don't know anything.
You're going to hell.
I've been to hell.
Yes,
well, now who did someone else? Nick Cage's ex-wife. Drew, you're not going to come up with her name, but Patricia Arquette, Engineer Anderson tells me, also had the turbo Porsche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, these girls earn it. You know, they pay for it themselves.
Yeah.
My wife bought mine for me, actually. I'm a kept man.
Really?
No.
Okay.
I was going to say
I wouldn't look down on that.
I wouldn't either. I'd look up on it.
I wish.
No, she does. She buys everything herself for herself.
Yeah, she makes money. She's got a career.
Oh, yeah. She's done very well for herself.
All right, let's hop to the phones, and we'll start with Sasha, who's 14. And let me just say one thing. Hold on a second. You know, I was thinking about this today, and I just thought about it when you couldn't think of something. I always like, this is something I do, and I think everyone does. I say to someone, what's the name of that band? What's the name of that actress? What's the name of that car? What's the name of that place? And the person never, inevitably, Drew, you never come up with it.
You do.
But I get irate when you don't know it.
Sure.
And it's ironic because I'm the one who doesn't know it first. You know what I mean?
And you're the one asking.
And I like that one, too. Yes, she's that one who's in there with the blonde hair. You idiot!
Hey, Adam, have you ever considered being a tour manager?
That's what they do, right?
Yeah, he would be amazing.
We're getting ready to go on tour, so if you need a gig, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to.
You could do this from the back of the bus.
Just yell at people?
Yeah.
No, well, yell at people, yeah.
Are you real happy in the morning, too?
Yeah, I'm horrible.
I mean, wake up just like, yeah, this is great.
No, I'm angry in the morning,
Well, in the road, you don't really wake up in the morning. You know, the tour manager does.
I forgot. I can hear Adam coming down the hallway.
You damn guys. Get out of bed. You got an interview. Yeah, it'd be great. True, I could do that. You could. Your rate would skyrocket to $2,600 a syllable.
Oh, yeah. You would have the time of your life.
Yeah, all right. Let's go. I'm leaving tonight after the show. Sasha?
The bus is waiting.
Sasha's 14.
Hello.
What's up, baby doll?
Hey. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm, shaking. I love you, Adam.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mental note. Go ahead.
I have a question. It's kind of complicated.
That word's complicated.
Yeah.
Okay, about a year ago.
That's a $2,800 word for Drew. Complicated.
I won't.
Okay,
I won't
four?
Use it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. About a year ago, I had been best friends with this one girl since the fifth grade, and we had always hung out together. And then until about a year ago, we were best friends, and someone started this rumor that I had said something about her and her boyfriend, and consequently, we...
All right. Come on, baby. This ain't Tiger Beat magazine here. What's up?
Sorry. Okay. So we stopped being friends, and since then, I've kind of gone nympho. Whenever I meet a guy...
14.
Huh?
Are you having sex with guys?
just three?
Three guys.
Yeah, but there were other guys, and it was like...
All right, 14. So, why would the departure of somebody important to you create this intense reaction where you start acting out?
I think it could be maybe because I feel that I need to keep the guys there.
Right. So why do you
we don't
have
understand
to,
why your goofball friend dumping you is making
right.
you go nympho.
Why was that such an overwhelmingly painful experience that you had to somehow avoid or gain control over by acting out in this manner? Where have you had traumas like this in the past?
Right. How many times have I warned you about talking to our callers?
Sasha, did your mom take off when you were three or something? Or
no, my parents are still together. They're great.
Were you?
But
what?
My mom, her family has a history of depression and stuff.
So she was depressed when you were younger, or she still is?
She still has depression, but she's taking Zoloft and stuff.
I understand. Was she not available the way you needed her for long periods of time because of her illness?
Yeah, she's a model depressed mother.
Did you get abused at some point
No, not that I can remember.
Were you sort of unattended to by mom for long periods of time?
No.
All right. Drew, you're batting 1,000 as usual, so yeah. Quiet down. Here's the thing. Maybe, you know, she's 14. Maybe she's ready to pot.
No way.
No?
No way.
Well, it happens.
This is acting out. This is.
So, Sasha,
mm-hmm.
Your parents are together.
Yeah.
Can you control yourself? You weren't sexually abused? You weren't physically abused?
No.
All right. Well, then why don't you knock it off?
Okay.
It's not good for you.
What do you get out of it? Like, I mean,
Well, she gets the connection. She feels like people care about her and are connected to her because the girlfriend she felt so attached to left. Or abandon her. That's the feeling. Why? And so you got to look at
it. It's not just fun.
And if abandonment is that central an issue to you, and you are so, and as a consequence of abandonment issues, you're having these horrible behavioral problems, that's the beginning of a personality disorder, Sasha, and you really need to look into this, okay?
Okay.
All right, baby doll. So
borderlines have that sort of a dynamic and borderline personality.
Just cool your jets a little bit. All right, nothing past handies for
6 years.
Yeah. I was going to say 3 years.
3 years.
6 years.
Okay.
6 years.
6 years. By the way, once the ship sails,
you
know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
14.
Well,
she's been with three guys.
God could take it away again. She could find renewed virginity. You know the way that there's that.
Yeah.
People take it all back.
Look.
It doesn't grow back.
How come, you know, you can kill somebody and find Jesus Christ in the joint and be forgiven. How come your hymen can't grow back? A couple of youthful indiscretions,
no,
14, 15?
They have plastic surgery for that.
No, they do. But symbolically, people.
Symbolically, people are forgiven for murder.
Symbolically, the hymen returns.
The hymen returns. Drew, that sounds like a great Christmas special.
It really does. Sounds like a good name for an album, too.
It's my new book.
The hymen returns.
Yeah, the hymen returns.
Special pink cellophane around the jewel case. Kevin?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah, I'm 17. This is kind of directed towards Dr. Drew. Sorry, Adam.
I love you, Dr. Drew.
Oh, no. I don't get calls like that.
I called into KGO today to talk to Dr. Dean O'Dell.
Yeah.
To see what he thought of Dr. Drew, you know, because Dr. Drew, of course, you know, talks about a lot of sexual things and probably doesn't get his credibility. And Dr. Dean O'Dell was talking a lot about Dr. Drew, and he was talking about how brave it is for you to do that, you know, and how he gets a lot of slander.
You see that, Drew?
That's nice.
Yeah, see, Drew always talking smack about Dean O'Dell.
No,
he's
I don't.
He's a local radio. Yeah, Drew, look, here's the thing.
I've never talked smack.
You hate
you
all doctors.
You were outside with us. Remember that?
You hate all doctors the way I hate all nappers and masturbators. I feel
people
I feel
compete
like,
with you?
Yeah, I feel...
Yeah.
You just don't want them to shake your hand.
They're horning in on my territory. I feel protective. I feel like I'm number one. Nobody naps and beats off like me. I don't need these guys. You know what I mean? Everyone's a threat. You know, when you're on top of the napping and masturbation world and you're looking down at everybody, what's someone trying to knock you off? You know what I mean? They're gunning for you.
I've met him before. He's a very nice guy. Super nice.
Hey, Adam.
Guy.
All right. Yeah.
I just want to say, just listening in, it is not that hard to understand anything you people are saying. And I don't know why everyone is an idiot. It must be the junior college.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
You're not going to junior college,
right,
are you, Kevin?
Listen, how much more inside crap do you want to talk about? Some local radio doctor that no one's heard of?
Dean Adell's a national show.
Dean Adell? Nobody knows who Dean Adell
is.
Yes,
they do.
Not our idiot listeners.
Well, that's true.
Oh, man.
My grandma does.
Yeah.
For sure.
Your grandma knows.
So it's like he's saying your grandma's an idiot.
No, I'm not. No, my.
Yeah, but the grandmas need to have doctors around.
Watch. You want? Let's try.
Grandma,
let's try. No. Rachel's
trying to
set
the guys
read
up on
there.
Trying to set me up.
Senior psych. All right. Let me just do.
Oh, unusual.
Exactly.
All right. I'm gonna just do a quick love line survey here. Zach.
Yeah.
Dr. Dean Adell. Do you know the name?
Not at all.
Thank you. Hold on.
Read the question.
Sadie, too. Quiet down. 20. Sadie?
What?
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry,
what?
Baby. I know it's prime TV time for you. I just had a quick question.
Oh, God.
Dr. Dean Adell, do you know the name?
No.
Thank you.
No.
Hold on. She sounds like the life, by the way, this Katie.
Read her question.
Who cares?
Read
Liz?
It.
Listen, you jackhole. Now, quiet. Liz?
Yes?
Dr. Dean Adell, do you know the name?
I've heard of it, but I don't know who he is.
Good enough.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're 0 for 3, Drew.
I agree with you, by the way, as it pertains to our callers.
Oh, you said our audience knew.
No. I said it's a national show, and you went, not our Stone Caller. I said, yeah, you're right.
All right. All right. Listen, I want to talk. I want to talk to Sadie over here like I can't stop playing with a tooth that's loose and hurts every time you flick it with your tongue, but you can't help it.
Right now, we're going to dig the tongue underneath and start flicking it forward.
Or like a nail that's going to fall off and you can't stop
it.
It's going to be painful, but
it's
going to be gratifying in its own way. Sadie?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yep.
I went back to you after much soul searching and with a lot of apprehension, but here goes. What's your question?
All right. Me and my boyfriend, we've been together for 8 months, which is actually a pretty good relationship for me. Mm-hmm. And he's a great guy. And he has never had anal sex, but I have before. And I was just wondering, what's the best stuff to use for a lubricant?
What, Prel, you know, the shampoo.
White Rain.
So what is that? Is it like
it's water a conditioner?
Soluble? Oh, really?
He will be wearing a condom, yes?
Use a ribbed condom?
No.
Sadie. Listen to Drew.
I thought she said a ripped condom.
Sadie, he will be wearing a condom, correct?
Excuse me?
Drew said he should put some foil around his Johnson before he enters you.
That sounds like it hurts.
Yeah.
Well, it does, but it conducts static electricity, and it really can make for a great orgasm.
Sadie, you're going to have him wearing a condom, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, so you want to use a non-petroleum-based lubricant, right? Because that will break the condom.
Okay.
All right, so things like just KY or Astroglide, that's all. That's it.
Do they make a special, like, high-viscous ass version of KY?
I don't think so, but maybe there's an opportunity for you there, Adam. Sadie, why are you so focused on this?
Hold on a second.
Wait, which one didn't have the anal sex before, her or him?
Him.
He never did.
Never did. And I hope she means, you know, he was never on the winning end of the anal sex. Not, you know, he didn't do time in prison or something.
Yeah.
But here's what I'm saying. You know, there's different formulations of motor oil, like Quaker State makes a general 30 weight, and then they make the one for the 4x4s. You know what I mean? The extra viscous, heavy-duty stuff, the 2050 stuff. Mm-hmm. Astroglide and KY ought to make a, you know, nice vaginal, nice, you know, light days kind of vaginal one, and then a super thick, like, dipping sauce for the anus. You know what I mean? Like,
just call it Duke.
Pro-Duke.
Good analogy.
Thank you. Thank you, and I got that. Yeah, this is porn star grade ass lube. This is not your grandmother's vaginal dryness remedy here. This is serious. This is all night ass lube. You know what I mean? I'm just saying they should kick it up.
The Duke sounds very, you know.
The Duke.
It sounds like it's really very, very powerful stuff.
All right.
Duke butt oil.
Let's get back to Miss Personality over here. Sadie?
Yes?
You sound like a delight, by the way.
Well, thank you.
What do you do for a living?
Actually, I work at a car dealership.
Perfect.
Doing what?
Being a porter.
What does that mean? You carry luggage at a car dealership?
Like a porter's taking
some.
Yep.
What? I can't put that
on. Look, you know how most car dealerships have those clear vacuum tubes they send the invoices up and around and stuff?
Yes.
Some don't have that.
That's Sadie.
Sadie has to mule them
over
to the parts department. She cares. They don't have those vacuum tubes. That's my favorite part of the car dealership. When you get the part and they put the invoice in the thing, just you follow it and it spits it out at the cash register. Someone's got to blow bong smoke or something into one of those.
Well,
Someone's
they used to have the drive-up tellers that did that, too, at the banks. You drive up to the one on what's
it. It's awesome to see your stuff just travel along.
It's so futuristic.
It's so Logan's Run.
Exactly.
Your document would get there faster if you walked it the 8 feet over to where it's going, but it's better to travel the 14 miles through the tube and then plop down at the chick at the register.
It makes such a great sound, too.
Sadie?
Yes.
All right, baby doll. So you've engaged in this before, but your boyfriend hasn't.
Right, and I didn't mean that he hasn't given it. He hasn't ever, or I mean, he didn't ever receive it, but he hasn't ever given it either.
All right.
So how come you don't know what the best thing to do is, you know, if you've done it, it seems that you would...
Yeah.
Well, know what's most comfortable for you?
It's a non-question. Is why I'm going after it.
All right.
What do you want to really talk about here?
All right.
You don't want to talk about anything?
Well, Tracy.
Sadie.
No, but I'm saying Tracy is saying that Sadie's a seasoned veteran, and why would she have questions about it? You know what I mean?
About Duke.
Duke.
Get the Duke. That's it.
And here's the thing with the Duke. I mean, you got to put the Duke on with a cake spatula, you know, one of those frosting spreaders.
It is what's the stuff that the Three Stooges used to throw on the grill? The lard.
Yeah,
you need lard.
It's basically Crisco.
There you go.
Crisco.
Yeah, it's an animal.
Caligula.
It's an animal based lube.
They use the Crisco.
Yeah. Fantastic. All right, let's take a call.
All right, real quick.
Let's do that.
At least start it.
Let's start a call, Rachel.
Good. Hello.
You're 22. What's up?
I heard Drew on Loveline like a month and a half ago. He mentioned an article. It was written by a guy at the Washington Post, but that's all he said about it. And it was about little girl voices and
I
heard that too. Trauma.
Oh, you did?
I wanted to look up the article. I haven't been able to find it.
Wow, it was a while ago.
Where was I?
I think the article was maybe 2 years ago. Maybe more. And I, for some reason, had contact with the guy again. He may be listening. Maybe call me, and I don't know how we'd get you the information on him. But he was a writer and wrote a nice little article about this. He was a staff writer at the Post.
Well, that article you brought in, did you bring it in?
I brought it in, didn't I?
Was the article based on our radio show or motivated by it?
Yeah, motivated by it.
I remember that show. I listened to it.
Really?
Yeah.
I was here. I don't remember. Okay.
You're here every day.
You want what, Rachel?
It's true.
I went on the Washington Post archives and tried searching for Loveline and came up with nothing. And do you know the name of the guy who wrote it or anything?
I can't remember any of that. It was a long time ago. And it really was not about Loveline. It was about this issue about how the voice reflects the person.
Right. But that's what I'm interested in.
Yeah. And can be a harbinger of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
That was the basic. And he interviewed several different disciplines. And it was sort of, it's been reported. Yeah, we think it can happen.
Yeah, we hear that squeaky little girl voice. We hear trauma.
We're never wrong.
And you can hear about the age. You know, if the girl sounds like she's 9 or 4,
right,
there's a difference. That's when the trauma was. Trauma doesn't always have to be like sexual abuse. Sometimes it's just a parent dies or leaves,
sure,
or physical abuse, but they sort of get locked in at that age. Guys don't seem to have this, by the way. I mean, they have their own problems with trauma, but women, especially sexual abuse, real easy. You hear that little squeaky 6-year-old voice coming out of a 23-year-old, there is sexual abuse. And where there's smoke, there's fire. Yes, Drew?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Brides of Destruction here tonight. Nikki Sixx, Tracy Guns. And we're going to hear something off the new CD, Here Come the Brides, right when we come back. Crank Yanker's on tonight. Forgot to alert the audience. 10:30, Comedy Central. That's
right. Crank Yanker.
Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. Yeah, got to use the mic there.
Hello.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Nikki Sixx here tonight. Tracy Guns here tonight from Brides of Destruction. We'll hear something off the new CD. Here Comes the Brides. And Drew?
Still obsessing about that Washington Post article. Chris, look in that closet and see if there's a... like a reprint of
it. Why do you wait till we get on the air to tell Chris to do something?
Because
he's just standing there like a lawn jockey for five
minutes.
That's
when he's working.
Giving you the stink eye while you're talking. And now
he just stands
up, you get him to move?
Now he just stands and tolerates you.
You stay out of my smoked almonds, too, buddy. And don't think I don't know, because there were 29 of those last when I left here on Wednesday, and there's 26 and a half of them now. So I know somebody's been into them. You know, those almonds... They don't get up and walk away. Do you know what I'm saying? Someone has to eat them. Those are gifts to me because of my greatness.
Have you tried the beer nut almonds yet?
Oh, really? They have beer nut? I've been a smoked almond man
the
so
beer
far.
Nut almonds, wow.
Really?
Serious.
Oh.
Good stuff.
I'm craving one.
Yeah, they're really good.
Tracy, lean into that. Or pull it toward you a little bit. There you go. Yeah, beer nut almonds. You don't want to miss that. I just traveled on American Airlines. They give the hot cup of mixed nuts.
Those, really?
Those are great.
Awesome.
Yeah. You just keep asking for more.
Yeah, the thing about the nuts.
Well, they have that big carafe they'll eventually bring.
The thing about the nuts is
after a few times, they're like, look, just take this.
I mean, eventually you get a handful of them like rock salt out of a shotgun across the face. By the way, I like the FU amount. Like when you go, you buy the burger and fries, and they give you the one packet of ketchup, and you go, could I have another ketchup? You get the big handful slapped down. You get that go choke on the goddamn ketchup handful. Like, get out of here with your ketchup. I like that. I like when they just go sick. There should be an in between, by the way, the one and the 30 they give you to tell you to F off.
Well, now when you pull up to McDonald's, if you look at the window when you're paying, it tells you the exact allotment of how many condiments you're allowed per, you know.
Oh, really?
Entree. Yeah, it says.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. It, you know.
Let me say this about the ketchup packet.
please.
We could do better. We could do better. Somebody invented the ketchup packet like 45 years ago, maybe 50 years ago.
Never really worked, has it?
Yourself biting the end, it doesn't work. Then you're milking the thing. You know, you're making your fingers into that scissor thing and squirting it. Yeah. Eventually, one gets loose and you step on it and it goes all over the place. We could do better than
the ketchup
packet. Well, the
room service
ketchup.
Could we not? The room service
ketchup.
Yeah,
the little
ketchup.
Mini bottle.
That's
nice, but it could be considered.
But it never wants to come out.
Oh, you
can't get out.
Yeah,
you got to dip. You got to dip. But no,
it's hard to drive and use a knife.
Here's what we
bottle.
Could do with the ketchup.
Sure,
we
gang,
could we
gang
could
guy.
Put it in the little dipping sauce containers where you just pull the cellophane on the top and just dip the fry. Milking that thing. First off, I feel gay. You know,
it looks kind of gay too.
Yeah, it's very sexual and gay, Drew. Well, I'm just saying. There's a couple of things. One of them, the ketchup packet that somebody signed off on 40 years ago, and we just moved forward. And my thing is like, this is a work in progress. We're not done with this. Let's say, hey, great scientist. Let's get going on the packet.
Hey, well, the guy made his money, and that was it. He didn't, you know.
Yeah, but you didn't see us walk away from the phone or the wristwatch or the calculator or the TV remote.
There's not a lot of flair. For the ketchup.
All I'm saying, it's not a poontang gig. I guess I don't know how else to say.
And it's a freebie.
But
that's
what I'm saying is what if we had taken the same approach to the TV remote 40 years ago? We still have that clicker one, that one used to train dolphins. You know what I mean? The click, click,
the
click.
One, the one with the cable.
With one button on.
Yeah, the weird button with the clicker thing. Yeah, that's what we'd be.
The ketchup container has gone down with the picture phone and the fast train to Vegas.
All
those things are just, they've been
together. We were promised the video phone and the bullet train, Drew means.
We got eyesight now. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I was in high school, they were talking about building that bullet train. What's eyesight?
Eyesight on the Mac.
You can see the people you're talking to?
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's not a phone, but it's, you know, it's like the chat. It's like video chatting.
It's real time, though. There's no glitch.
To me, there's the only industry that benefits is the porn industry. You know, Drew.
That's true of any technology.
You go out of town, you go to Chicago to talk to some idiots for 10 minutes. You don't need to see your wife when you call back, do you?
No.
Yeah, you don't, right? You don't need to see her when you're in town.
Stop.
You didn't see her when you're in the house.
I mean, stop it.
No, she's a good-looking woman. I'm just saying, you know, you know what she looks like. It's been 10 years.
You have to go on tour.
All right, we're going.
You go on tour, you got to have that stuff.
Yeah.
Amber?
Hello?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
Amber.
I'm kind of in between my sexuality right now.
At 15, you're supposed to be not just in between, but
all
over the place.
I'm coming to the end of mine. Be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in between 20 years ago. I'm sort of on the home stretch now. I'm coasting at this point. Yeah. What's up? What happened to you?
Let's see. Well, when I was little, like, probably when I was probably 10, I had, like, a girl-on-girl experience.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was pretty cool and everything. And
you're lesbian.
True, please.
And?
No, I think I might be turning bi. But I don't know. Because I like, when I see girls, I'm like, oh, she's pretty and everything. But when I see guys, it's like, I get, like, more fulfillment from guys, even though...
Well, right. Having a sexual experience before your brain is sort of set can affect your sexual orientation.
And as a female, is it ever really set? Does it ever fully dry?
This sends it spinning.
It's really just like a bad paint job, those female brains. It's always a little tacky. You're quite right. You know what I mean? It'll do at a certain point, but it's always a little. It's like it's a bad oil based paint job.
The key amber,
they get mixed. They don't get mixed right or something.
Or they too mixed. Amber, the key is not to act out. Just relax, figure out, let things settle down. When you understand things more clearly, that's when you start making choices and acting. Not when you don't know and you're confused and you're in between.
Okay. And look, why don't you focus on something else?
It says here you want to announce. You tell your mom.
No, because I think he's disowned me.
Where's your dad?
My dad, I haven't seen him since I was 5.
Okay. All right. Well, this is part of it.
There you go.
Okay. So, Amber.
Is mom a drug addict or something?
No, she's actually a Christian.
Okay. Are you angry at your mom?
She's engaged.
Oh, well, that explains everything then. Why don't
you
just say so?
If you're angry at your mom.
I don't see why I should be, but lately there's been some incidences that have been happening that I've been mad at her.
Okay. So let me just say this to all the Ambers of the world, because we have to give this speech every once in a while. The dad is the guy who abandoned the family. The mom is the parent who hung in there and attempted to, form some semblance of a family unit and raise you.
The mom should have kept the dad around. Her mom forced the dad away. There's some sort of implicit thinking that way. Look, your mom did her job as a parent. Your dad was the a-hole.
Yeah, your dad is the one. Oftentimes, the parent that splits gets idealized. Like, dad's great if I could only get him to love me. Meanwhile, they're clashing with mom because mom is the warden. I mean, mom is the one who's coming in saying, you can't wear that, or you got to study, or your curfew is 10:30.
No fun police. That's what she is.
Right. Yeah. Meanwhile, she's the one bringing the groceries home and putting the roof over the head. Deadbeat dad should not be idolized, should be despised. And that doesn't mean every guy you're going to meet has become dad.
Right.
It's just dad is not the parent you need to respect.
There's nothing that starts to happen, too. When kids are abused, they start to blame the mom for not saving them, protecting them from the abuse. Mm-hmm. And this, she had a premature sexual experience and may have some of those kinds of feelings, too.
All right. So I'm just saying, give mom a little respect. She hung in there. She did the best she could. Stop riding her.
There you go.
All right.
Good times.
Hey, good times. Let's hear a song.
All right.
Yeah. Brides of Destruction.
Woohoo!
Destruction. Chris, you got this? Seriously. Pull your pockets inside out, because I know when you pull them out, some of my almonds are going to fall out of there. I know it. Come on.
You finished those almonds like 4 weeks ago.
Give me the button. I finished them. You finished them.
We finished them.
Okay, listen. We're going to hear a song. I'm going to go count the almonds. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Chris. I'm going to shut the lights. You want to put the almonds back? There'll be no questions asked. Remember that move? I like to start doing that. I just start to bring that into my everyday life, you know?
First
car stereo ripped off, whatever. Divorce, whatever. Getting fired. Okay, I'm going to shut the lights. And it's all going to get put back to how it was before I turn these lights. No questions asked.
That would be such a great, if you could have that opportunity one time in your life. You know, you lose something and you just say, you're granted this one time you can turn the lights off. And you'll get back what you really messed up on.
Yeah.
I wish.
You just shut the lights like a bad Jim Carrey movie. All right. Like Chris, let's hear a little something from Brides of Destruction.
What song are you going to play?
We're going to hear Shut the F Up.
STFU.
Deception.
Filibuster. Rise of Destruction, everybody. Nikki Six, Tracy Guns here tonight. Here Comes the Bride. Isn't shouldn't it be a Here? Well, yeah, Here Comes the Brides.
Yeah, there's four of us.
It's good. I got it now. I've worked it. All right. You never know. We do get a few typos here every once in a while. The guys are in studio. We'll take a little break. Come back. Crank Anchor's on tonight, everybody. Crank Anchor show plug.
Good time.
We'll come back. Take some questions, some calls, all that after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Bert McCracken's coming in here from the Used, and Benji from Good Charlotte.
Those McCracken. That's not a stage name. That's
those
not
are filthy guys.
McCracken.
They're filthy.
Danny McCracken.
You're going to smell this whole place up. Brides of Destruction here tonight. Nikki Six, Tracy Guns here.
I don't remember Benji being that filthy.
Yeah, but anyone who hangs out with Bert
gets
filthy.
Is Bert dirty?
Yeah, he's dirty.
Like smells dirty, or he's just a dirty dog, like all guys.
No, it's grungy. It's filthy. It's not dirty in spirit.
He was Kelly Osbourne's boyfriend for a little while.
Oh, he hasn't washed since then.
Yeah, he's not a big washer guy.
Places washcloths don't.
Although you know, it's not a bad. You know, it's not bad to just get the reputation of really not being that clean. Like to me, like I like the reputation of being a light tipper.
You like that reputation.
Because then you can be lazy.
Yeah, give someone $4. It's like, oh my God, Adam Carolla gave me $4 on an $85 meal. That's amazing. No, but here's what I'm saying. Because I was just talking to someone about this today, which is they were saying you don't want to get a reputation is cheap or bad tipper, and I thought, yeah, but what's the opposite of that? You're Frank Sinatra? You don't give the doorman $100 and all of a sudden he's pissed?
And then when you're broke, who cares?
Right. Yeah.
It's true.
I'll tell you, that's the coolest thing about, Phil Wallace sound guy, legendary producer.
Phil Spector.
Phil Spector, the coolest thing, Drew almost said a name. That I didn't. Drew, has that ever worked out?
No.
And by the way, I'm convinced.
Never once.
And I'm convinced I could say, you know, your mom's name. Mom, what's her name? First name. And Drew just keeps staring at me. He's angry. That's what it is. It's not that he freezes up.
Drew's very zen-like when you're talking. I noticed.
Yeah, he drifts off. If you call zen, napping.
Maybe it's sleeping. Yeah,
definitely. He goes to a very happy place.
Yeah, just say it.
Like a cat on a car hood. That kind of zen. Anyway, the coolest thing about Phil Spector, when he went to the Tana's, went to Dan Tana's restaurant there, and he got the night before he got accused of killing that chick, he had like a $30 tab, and he gave like a $500 tip.
Nice.
Yeah, and he didn't know it was going to make the news. That was just a Friday night. You know what I mean?
I think he knew he wasn't going to need his money where he was going.
Either that, or he was bipolar and manic, or strung out.
I got to tell you, whatever you want to say about
Phil
the guy.
Phil Spector, bipolar? No.
That's just a classic
manic
move.
No.
when you tip, 5,000% of whatever the bill was. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, good
All right,
times.
But not Carolla.
No,
he's cheap. Spread the word.
But he showers.
Mike?
Yes, but you're clean.
Hey,
I'm almost done with that, too. Mike?
Hey, Dr. Drew, Adam, what's up?
What's happening?
Not a much. All right. Well, I just wanted to ask you, Doctor, what is the best way to deal with panic disorder, and how did you deal with it in the past when you used to have it?
How do you know I used to have it?
Did you?
Well, you said so on the radio. I don't know.
No, I guess that's how you would know.
Very cool.
I was actually mistreated. And I suffered with it all the way through college for the most part with a depressive episode.
Drew was beaten with a slipper. That's how they used to do it back then.
Yeah.
And that made him worse.
And now there's tremendous pharmacological interventions that are available. There are all kinds of medication that are effective depending on the sort of the pattern, the quality, whether it's predominantly anxiety or panic or whether
how
social
about
phobia.
My tough love treatment.
Just yeah. I had a panic attack. Listen to this. I had a panic. That's probably what you heard about, Mike. I had a panic attack. I hadn't had one in years and years, but I had one on the set of Loveline, the TV show, after nearly having a fist fight with Jon Favreau.
Oh, was that the show?
It was the show following.
Are you kidding?
No.
Yeah. Drew hates Jon Favreau.
No, I don't actually.
Well, he does. But all right.
That day we weren't so happy with each other, And afterwards, I just got this intense panic attack. Wow. And I go, I got to take a break. I went to my dressing room. Adam came in there and...
What? You tell the story. Huh?
Came in there and said, God damn it, get off your ass and get in there in front of that show. If I have to spend one more minute here than I absolutely have to, I'm going to kick your ass.
Right? And what happened?
I went and finished the show.
He went back out there, and what'd he do?
Well, you have to.
Broke it down.
Broke it down. He got a hand in. He grabbed the knee, and he broke it down. And that's the important part. And he went in there, and he did a good, solid six and a half show.
Maybe
a seven even.
Yeah, but
the point is we went home on time.
Don't you find after the panic attack, you're almost euphoric?
No, not me. Then I get anxiety and dysphoria.
Anxiety about the panic attack of yore?
Just get more anxiety. Just kind of sticks around.
Really?
I feel exhausted and that kind of good stuff. Anyway, but there, you know, therapy is another thing if you want to try to sort of build internal structures that help you be less likely to have these panic episodes. The therapy on a long-term basis can be helpful. And then pharmacological interventions in the short term.
Well, I was just curious, like, with you, is it mostly your internal dialogue that, like, you got to think more positively so it doesn't happen?
No. Or? No, I'm not sure that those sorts of cognitive behavioral interventions...
Once you're in the throes of it, it doesn't work.
It's a circuit that just opens up, and once it opens, man, you can't talk. It's just pow, you're in it.
Hi, this is John Favreau.
One of the things you can learn to manage when you're in them. Just like fear of flying and things like that, they will eventually... They sort of extinguish as you learn that they're not so overwhelming.
Would you pop the pill when you feel one coming on, or would you take it in a situation that might invite that anxiety?
Depending on what pill you're using. If you're taking a beta blocker, you'd take them before you're going into the situation. So if you're taking a benzodiazepine, a short-acting, rapid-acting like Xanax, you take it when the attack occurs. Mm-hmm. Although there's also...
How fast is the Xanax going to kick in?
15 minutes.
I got that shaved down to about 11 minutes with a Bloody Mary, actually.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, see, that's
the primer.
The liquid volume.
Yeah, that gets it moving.
Mm-hmm. Scary,
gets
though.
It circulating.
And you're not alone. That's always the good news about...
Lean into your mic,
I'm sorry. You know, because I had all kinds of panic and hiding from the world, and... the more research that I did on it, and you find out that you're not absolutely alone.
Very common.
You know, it kind of soothes you a little bit to have the, you know, to know about it and to talk about it. You know, the more I talked about it, the better I felt over the years.
What about these stories you hear about guys like Donny Osmond who grow up on stage and then all of a sudden they're 36 years old and they can't go out? Is that a panic attack, or what is that?
That's more phobia. Yeah, it's like fear of flying. You're flying, and all of a sudden the panic starts hitting.
But that doesn't really work that way with something like flying.
Yeah,
does
that's
it?
Exactly yes, it how fear of flying occurs. It's not something. It usually starts the classic fear of flying. It develops in somebody who doesn't have a problem flying.
Wait a second now, Drew, because we talked about this, and you and I both were nervous flyers until we started doing a lot of flying, and then it just became sort of routine like many things.
But I used to fly back and forth to college, never thought about it. Mm-hmm. Then somewhere along the way there, I started getting increasingly anxious about it, got horribly anxious about it, couldn't fly.
Really?
And then by the time you and I got together, I was sort of getting over it, and then nothing, it's gone.
Did something trigger that?
I just remember a conversation I had with a friend of mine about how, we were just freaking each other out about flying, and
I mean, the concept is all wrong, isn't it? Yeah. Piece of metal up in the sky.
You don't want to get stoned and think about it.
No.
But a couple of boozes helps the time pass.
And a Xanax.
I've found, yes. Brides of Destruction here tonight. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah. Brides of Destruction here tonight. Nikki Six, Tracy Guns.
Hello.
All here tonight.
Hello, hello, hello.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's take a question for Nikki from Matt, who's a big fan. Matt?
He was calling from a semi.
Oh, really?
From a semi.
I'm on the phone. Can you hear me?
There you are. You're back.
Here.
Listen to that.
No way.
It's convoy.
Uh-oh.
Done. Now.
All right, hold on a second, Matt. We'll let Matt find find a, I don't know.
That was the coolest thing I've ever
heard. Get out of the zone pass.
In my life.
I was yelling at somebody tonight on my cell phone, ironically, that was fading in and out. Does L.A. have to have the worst goddamn cell phone reception of any major city
only,
in the United States?
Only in the highly trafficked areas.
Yeah, like Balboa?
Wilshire Boulevard, the 10,
the
110,
PCH.
Anything that goes over the pass.
Any pass.
Any pass,
except the
any mountains, any hills. Well, here, I never go over that.
Did you notice on the 101 you're driving, all of a sudden the phone just dies, you look up and it always says Balboa?
Oh, well,
way
we,
out there,
we out in the, toward the West Valley.
Down
we
the
get
woods.
The same thing out on this side. And the point is, what I was saying to the guy tonight is there any city in the world where people spend more time in their cars and
their
more
phones.
Time on their phones than Los Angeles? Do we really have to rank number 578
in
terms
coverage.
Of efficiency? Yeah. I mean, I go to New York, I go to Idaho, I go to Chicago, the cell phone works like a dream. And every time people give you, they give you this topography thing. And by the way, all of you shut up. I'm tired of you with your, well, they have it. Yeah, we got a hill. The highest one's about 65 feet. Let's get over it. Let's get past this. You know what I mean?
Break it down.
Let's break it down. Let's get a hand in now. You put some more of those creepy cell phone trees up.
Those are so weird, man.
It's got to be weird for, like, owls and stuff. They got to be like, oh, my God. I got stuff like I was eating mushrooms or something. I was screwing an owl in a plastic tree. I was freaking. Like, they got to be just freaking out. Like, birds got to be going.
They turn flagpoles into
Well, don't they put?
All I'm saying is put
fake
some stuff
animals
up there.
On them?
They put the fake owl on
fake
top
owls.
Of the liquor store so the Which, pigeons don't crap
it
on
it. Doesn't,
okay,
it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It works. Like, here's the thing. I always like that.
Nicky put a giant bee on his house so all the little bees would go away and it didn't work.
It didn't work at all.
Yeah.
I know. Somebody figured if you put that plastic owl out front of stuff, it's going to keep the pigeons and other birds. Drew got some bad coffee.
Ugh.
But keep the other birds away. It keeps them away for about 10 minutes, but eventually you just see them sitting on it and dry humping
that.
The owl.
That's
and
the
they
best
crap
when they're
on
sitting
the
on it, right?
Yeah, I know. I love it. The scarecrow with all the crows on it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, if birds flew away every time someone shoot them and stayed away, they'd really have nowhere to go. They got to come back eventually.
That's true.
I just wish your crap wasn't white. Who decided? You know what I mean? If it was just a brownish color mixing nicely with the roof, you know what I mean? It's the white that really screws everything up.
The whole Oreo appearance.
Yeah, here's my point. I just like to get the cell phones working just a little bit better in the Los Angeles
area.
A
little bit?
Like about 100 times better, maybe 1,000 times. All right, Matt.
By the way, how in New York do they get it in the buildings? Here, inside, you walk in a building, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
It's true.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone has a logical answer. It's just the technology's been around for a long time. Let's fix it. Let's make it better. Like the ketchup packets. Let's improve it. We're not done.
Well,
get a hand and now break it down. That helmet, that's not a chair. Grab a knee. Okay. A little Pop Warner flashback there. Matt?
Yes, sir.
There All right. Now, big fan of Nicky's?
Yes, I am. I don't mean to make him feel old, but I've been listening to him since I was a kid.
Where are you now?
I'm in Visalia right now. I'm just backed up underneath the trailer, hitched up.
Visalia is a great novelty town for a trucker to be in. You know, it wouldn't sound, if he's calling from an Encino, it wouldn't be any good.
No,
Visalia, perfect.
Yeah, I'm in Visalia headed home. But anyhow, I got a question
for Nicky.
All right.
Are you there, Nicky?
I'm here, man. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Hey, I just up the bass and started playing about three or four months ago. What kind of advice can you give me about learning?
I would suggest taking lessons, and I would suggest playing with the metronome so that you have something to play to. So you get a feel for timing, and just be thirsty for information. Learn as much as possible.
Great.
Listen to all kinds of music. It's the other thing.
Oh, I do. I listen to everything from classical to classic rock.
Now, Matt and a lot of our listeners don't know what a metronome is. That's one of those chicks that's got dude junk. You know what I mean? It's like it's like kind of part dude and part chick. You need that person in your band is what Nicky's saying. You jam with that dude, chick dude.
Metronome.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, that's the tick, tick, tick. Drew's got one of those, I'm sure. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. See, I wouldn't have thought of Nicky as a metronome guy.
Well, you know, I'm more of a drum machine guy, but it kind of goes with the lessons. You know, if you take lessons, they're going to make you get a metronome or something, or a click track, or now you know, you can just play with drum loops. There's all kinds of stuff.
It's important.
But it's important to play with a rhythm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just going to be the whitest guy in rock.
Is that more so for a bass player, or does that count for same with drummers, anything?
Piano, guitar.
Yeah, everything.
Sorry.
Everything.
No, I mean, I teach guitar, so I know. You know, I mean, there's guys, if the metronome's going click, 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 the guy's going to go, you know, ding, ding, in between. I mean, it's timing, and when you're learning how to play music, is everything. Uh-huh. And it's actually even more important than just learning to play to a click or a metronome, is play along with the songs that you love that made you want to play the
instrument. Also build strength.
Really?
Build strength. Yeah. You know, people think, you know, oh, I know that opening part of Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
But to play all of that song in the same tempo as the song, you find out it's really difficult.
It's very difficult.
You know, you get tired. Your hands get tired.
Yeah. What's, Nicky, what's...
So it's a rough job.
What's one of the best bass songs that...
Best bass songs.
Yeah, sometimes I think about that. Like, you know, there's great rock songs. Yeah.
Summertime Blues by The Who is pretty...
Their coverage, their remake of it.
Yeah.
You know, some of the best bass I like is in some of the old AC/DC songs. It's just simple. Mm-hmm. It's almost like just eighth notes, just thumping along, but it does something. It just gets the groove going. I love that kind of stuff.
I was thinking of, The Who. John Entwistle, probably one of the better bassists.
He died about
2 or 3 years ago now.
Yeah.
It's been a few years. Drew doesn't know.
What did he die from? Was it drugs?
He had a heart attack.
He was in Vegas, and he was like 50-something, and he just died in his room.
First of all, you're not in The Who, 50-some, in Vegas, and just die.
Yeah.
I mean,
whenever you hear a young person getting dehydration or dying suddenly.
Right. I mean, anyway, he was in The Who. There has to be hookers and cocaine involved, or I'm going to be disappointed.
One would have story. Jared?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I was just wondering if it is unhealthy not to masturbate.
Unhealthy.
I think it damages your spirit.
Okay.
I believe we all have a light that's inside of us, and it gets brighter the more you beat off. And you, by not beating off, just have one of those small Christmas bulbs, like not the big ones, but even the little ones, the cheap ones.
The beat bulb.
The beat bulb.
As opposed to the beat beacon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got a Klieg light. Like, I got one of those things they use when they open movie theaters.
Jared, I can't really say that it's unhealthy. It can't affect your sex drive, your testosterone levels. There's sort of an optimal range for all that.
Uh-huh.
But what's happening? What prompts the question?
Well, I've always been curious about that. I am a virgin, and I was thinking about that and was listening to you guys, and I was like, you know, I should call in and ask. So,
well, how much? What are you doing?
Yeah, what can we put you down for?
How much do I masturbate or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
we're ordering lunch, you retard. Come on.
Once every 3 to 4 months.
Holy.
That's not enough.
And to me, I wouldn't even count that. That's like
saying, doesn't count.
How often you breathe. About once or twice every 6 months. It's like you're dead.
Yeah,
you can't count that.
It's good for your brain to do that.
Yeah.
You know, not just your weenie, but, I mean, it's good for your
head. Are you trying not to do this?
My church is definitely against it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And are you having night emissions?
Yeah.
Wet dreams?
Yeah.
That's God giving you a handy.
Right. So it comes out of either way, Jared. Why is it bad for you to...
Street style.
But he's not getting the benefit if it's only happening when he's asleep.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Don't knock that.
Adam wants those.
You can think
I've never had one.
Oh, they're great. I'll give you one. I mean, I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Hey, Nicky, if never mind, I'm going to tell the camping joke.
that would just get us in trouble.
Yeah, forget it.
Hey, Jared, how do you know your church is against it? Do they have, you know, hand out literature and stuff?
How
does that work?
Well, yeah, I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Sure.
Otherwise known as the Mormon Church.
Are you a Mormon? Right.
Yes.
Okay.
It's 100%.
No. All right, so you're Mormon, and it says, thou shall not stroketh thy meat. And if thou does, it was bad.
Basically,
Yeah, but you're allowed to have so many women, so I mean, it should.
You can have a few wives as a Mormon.
Can't you have like seven or something?
No.
I don't think there was a cap on it when they had the.
No, really? They changed it, and again, all that had to be.
Yeah, there's no polygamy in the church anymore.
Oh man, me, that's the only reason you get in.
I know, I'm not converting
now. I'm out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well...
This is like...
He's like, okay, well, anyway, guys.
To me, it's like Hooters ran out of wings. You know what I mean? It's time to pack it in. I got to leave. That's the only reason I became a Jehovah's... No, what is this guy?
Mormon.
That's the only reason I got in, so I get a handful of wives. And by the way, aren't we all miserable with our one wife? Yeah, let's do the math. Do the wife math. You know what I'm saying?
I need 11 of them. Just say it, man. Just say it.
There's some community down in
We could all do it. You know what I could do with? Half a wife. Forget nine. Yeah. You know, I don't want to go this way. I'd like to ratchet it down just a little bit. I got like 5/8 of a wife.
I was talking to a reporter.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday wife, maybe every other Sunday. I don't need five. I need less.
I was talking to a reporter who filed a report about
Drew, you could use a little
community
in
Arizona.
You could dial down the wife a little bit, right?
Who did a report about community where there's...
Misery loves company.
There's a bunch of
polygamists.
Come on, join me. Join me.
These guys, each one of them basically is like a little head of a cult. That's the way it plays out.
Hmm. Yeah, it's great. Really, most of the polygamists are just pedophiles because they get them when they're 13 and 14, and somehow
magically having sex with them. The new ones, the ones they have sex with, and the ones by the time they're 25, they're done with them.
Right. And they end up banging their sisters, and they get them all. It's great. And then trying to get a little government support.
Yeah,
they're delightful guys. Someone just put a bullet in their heads. And by the way,
there it is.
Let them meet their maker. Right. Sure. They'll throw a big parade for you in heaven because you've been banging a bunch of 13-year-olds. Fantastic. And I like, by the way, that we have to respect it. It's like, what
can
if I just said,
can I judge?
Look, I here's my religion. I eat chili fries and beat off.
Nice.
Hey, back off, man. What's with the judgment? You respect it. Respect
right.
It. Yeah, it's like everyone puts on the kid gloves, and it's like, he's a polygamist. He has a lifestyle where he believes that he's banging 14-year-olds and getting welfare.
Yeah.
That's it. We got to do this?
Yeah.
It's like, according to the teachings of Allah, certain strains of the religion say that you should kill the infidel. Let's stop respecting all these retarded religions. Really, let's just start ridiculing them like we should have been doing years ago and stomping them out, by the way. Not everyone gets to start their own religion.
Yeah, but it's just like how guys from the Valley are weaned on Tommy's chili cheeseburgers and jerking off. I mean, you're not going to stop. We believe in that.
I know, but I don't get...
You can't just tell people
I don't get a tax break from the government because I like to beat off. And by the way, into the chili fries. Into the chili fries. That's my religion.
Big time.
Yeah, actually.
Please.
Okay. What the hell are we talking about?
I'm taking calls. Georgia, Florida.
Drew's three-quarters of a wife. Yeah, sorry. Ratchet it down. But if somebody said,
"Man clapping alone,"
Drew's wife listens to the show. That's the problem. My wife goes to bed at like at 9:55, and by the way, gets an ass full of me and my loud mouth at home.
By the way,
and by the way, it's like, oh please, would you shut up already? I'm trying to watch some goddamn TV. Like, you got TiVo, you can stop it. Yeah, I know, but I don't want to interrupt the flow.
Oh my god,
Drew, my wife hates the sound of my voice.
Poor
right?
woman. Oh my god.
But here's the point: if you could have nine wives. Or 5/8 of a wife. What do you go with?
No, I go with
that's
nine.
A seven. You go with the nine?
No, you don't go with nine. Nine? Nine Asian wives, but not nine of our wives. There's pains in the ass. Come on. You go with 5/8. You go with 5/8. Nothing wrong with 5/8. Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah.
You can live with that.
You're sucking Tracy in. I'm seeing it happen. Like, he's like, okay, 5/8. 5/8.
Well, I mean, you know, but we have it great because we are home with our wives, and it's great.
Right.
And then we get to leave for months at a time.
Right.
And,
so it's
and
like having a 5/8.
It's 5/8.
It is.
Yeah, one hundredth of a
That's why we've been with them for so long.
Yeah, or maybe it works out better for them.
It does work out better.
Yeah, listen.
They're like, please tour.
Man. Look at that.
Yeah, true.
Hey, take it easy, Drew.
Yeah, actually, my wife was the one that suggested. She said, don't you think you should be touring with this band?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool at first, but now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my
Hondo, the gardener's coming on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Kick off the tour Tuesday.
Hondo.
Hit the road. Hondo. All right, come on, Drew.
No, you get this. When are you leaving?
Yeah.
I get that once a month.
True. Okay, so you go nine wives.
Nine wives.
Wow. So you have that anxiety under control.
No, it's wife's listening. That's what's going on. Alex?
Hey.
All right, Drew the Polygamist, everybody.
How's it going? Hey, I was on last week, too. Do you remember me, Dr. Drew?
No. I'm a percentagist.
I know.
I'm not
a polygamist.
I'm not a polygamist.
You're partialist.
Yeah, I'm partialist. You give me a 13/16. Maybe 27/64. You know, I could really break it down. Really dial it in. I've had an ass full of Alex already.
Okay, four then.
All right, now I'm going to talk to Alex now.
Hey.
Alex?
Hey.
You have a Germany or Florida for us?
Yeah, I was on last week too. I had the one with the baby heads. Do you remember me, Dr. Drew?
Whatever.
No, nobody knows and nobody cares.
Is this
so
one the Barbie heads? The guy was eating them or something?
Yeah.
Oh, Adam, you'd love this one.
All right. Well, I wasn't here, so I don't care. So go ahead, Alex.
All right. A 41-year-old man was a model airplane hobbyist and was killed when his radio-controlled helicopter went haywire and crashed into his neck.
All right. This is either Germany or Florida. Now, to be fair, this could happen in either Germany or Florida, and there's really nothing that would lead us to believe. Florida, big hobbyist.
Oh, is that right?
State, yeah.
Then
a lot of model,
Florida.
They have the Top Gun model airplane competition out there every year.
Go.
We're going Florida.
You are? It's Germany.
Who?
Yeah.
All right. Foiled again.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Call back next week.
All right. Hey, Drew.
Hey, Alex.
I was looking at your book at the store, and it was kind of expensive. I want to read that thing.
There's a paperback coming out towards the end of summer.
Oh, really?
All right.
All right,
hang
cool.
On.
Yeah.
All right, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Paperback's easier to roll up and stuff in your jeans.
I think he's asking for a free one.
What's that, Anderson?
I think he wanted it for a free one.
I don't have any.
He's a pain in the ass anyways. Who cares?
Yeah.
Drew, you don't have any books to give away?
No.
Really?
No. The ones I have given away, I had to buy myself.
Really?
Yeah.
That's.
Well, you guys had to buy them from
Amazon. That's what I had to do, too. Yeah.
Yeah. You bought Drew's book?
No, the Motley book.
Oh, okay.
I'll buy a case of them and keep them in my house so when people come by and they go,
yeah.
Hey, do you have that book? I'm like, yeah, here you go.
It's embarrassing.
It was
another
$16.
It is.
Do that with your record, too.
I do a little name dropping here, but. I was in New York last weekend and went to go see dear friend Alec Baldwin's play. And I called him up and I said, hey, I need a couple of tickets Saturday night. That's like $86 a ticket. And I'm like, you can't flow me some tickets, bro? And he's like, I don't get tickets. Mm-hmm. And there's a fair amount of that goes on in this business.
He lied to you.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
First off, they're probably $45.
Concert tickets are like that now.
Yeah, they're the same price.
We were talking to the Aerosmith guys, and they're like, no way, dude, you got to buy them.
I know. And here's the bad part. Everyone thinks you get them for free. Mm-hmm. So if you do, like each year we have, you know, at K-Rock, we have the big Weenie Rose, we have the Christmas, you know, the acoustic Christmas. Everyone wants to go times, you know, 10 pairs of tickets. They're $55-$60 a piece. I got to pay $600 every year.
Yeah.
And then I got to hand them out to everybody.
Wow. And then collect. If you want them to pay. Yeah.
Sometimes, but... Sometimes
that feels kind of
it
bad.
Gets weird.
Yeah, feel weird.
Yeah, here's your ticket, but give me $50.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're like,
what's wrong?
Well, the
with
worst
you,
thing
don't
is
you work there.
Yeah. Yeah, but the worst thing is when you actually pay for the tickets to give them to somebody and they don't show up.
Oh, wow.
That happens a lot.
Then I'm pissed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. So, Drew, nine wives.
Nine.
Drew would like to have nine.
Nine
wives.
Ouch.
Nine of your wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's a smart man.
So that's a lot of bravado, Drew. You want to think about that? Give it a little thought.
Think about all my passion.
Drew is a man of exquisite passion, and he is you would be like a car that would park in a new garage every night.
Yeah.
You have exquisite passion. Whereas for me, I sort of want to be left alone to wait to
outside,
die.
In the rain.
Like to be to be left alone. Yeah. So I don't need nine wives bugging at me.
True.
But I do need a three-quarters wife.
Is it like five for each day of the week and then like two for Saturday, two for Sunday?
Yeah, how would the nine break down?
That's Anderson's got a good plan.
And who's to say you couldn't take on a few at once?
Good time.
It's not like you don't got a mouth and some junk and a big toe. I'm just saying, Drew.
I love the word.
Drew, a doctor, a man of great dexterity, and a man of great passion.
Dexterity. That's with the toe. Stuff I do with the toe.
That's what we're talking about, the toe specifically. All right, we're going to take a break. Rise of Destruction here tonight. Nikki Sixx, Tracy Guns, and we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. There, buddy. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tracy Guns here tonight. Nikki Sixx.
Hello.
Brides of Destruction.
Just talking about when I was down here about 5 years ago with Donna, and she had a...
Was that 5 years ago?
A few bottles of wine.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was fun for you guys.
Yeah. We used the drop of her... announcing her name for a long while after that.
Well,
that?
Mispronouncing her name.
Yes, is that, yes.
She mispronouncing her name?
Yes.
Well, she her Donna D'Errico is not an easy name to pronounce.
No, I remember when I was introduced to her and people were going, what's this girl you went out with? And I go, Donna D'Errico.
If you've had a couple of boozes, D'Errico said, don't come flying out.
Yeah, she was in rare form that night.
Yeah, yeah. I think we saw a little booby.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think she was flashing
big
you guys.
She's got a little flash. Yeah. It's good times. You know, normally we're miserable.
Hey, you
here,
had to bring me this time. Hey, guys!
Yeah, it's going to be quite a disappointment.
Yeah, sorry, man.
All right, I'm over it, Drew. You over it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Nine wives, huh?
Nine.
Not going to join me down at three-quarter?
No. I thought it was 5/8.
I'm 5/8, yeah.
27/32, like you said.
Yeah, because if you think half a wife, still that's 3.5 days a week. That's a lot. You know what I'm saying? Okay, just give some thought.
Just saying outside how it'd be great to have you as a friend because every time you get in trouble, you're like, oh, it's Adam. I was with Adam.
Guys, I actually like women. Most guys don't like women.
Well, because you're
P-Wick.
Like you're P-Wick.
No, I actually like women. I actually do.
Yeah.
I don't,
Not your mom, though.
I don't know what that says about me.
Not your mom.
Women are cool, man.
No, you like hanging out. Well, here's the thing. You don't like dudes because you're not really a dude. I mean, you're one of those metronomes we were talking about earlier.
Different levels of dudedom.
Yeah. You don't like dude stuff. You claim to like it, but you don't like wrenching on cars or fixing houses.
No,
I'm not really into sports.
I never got developed the way it should have been.
Yeah, your parents were sending you to opera lessons and stuff like that when you were a kid. You didn't get the bonding that you should get with the dudes.
Could be.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's what I'm trying to do for you, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, why don't you let me in?
I'll let you in, dude.
I've been knocking for like 9 years. I'm about to open in the door. Huh?
No.
Think about it. Don't answer. Think about it.
I didn't know when you were...
Would you answer?
I didn't know when you were bending me over and talking about...
I was knocking.
Yeah.
That's my knocking.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
Let me in. I wasn't thinking
just
interested.
Just think about it, man. Just think about it. Zach?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah. I'll just start off by saying, I'm really screwed up, but I'll just focus on one area of my life right now. I've got a girlfriend and...
Sounds like London.
What do you mean you're really screwed up? What does that mean?
Oh, I've just had kind of a messed up life. I'm kind of a depressing person.
What kind of messed up life? What has happened that's made your life messed up?
My parents used to beat me, and they're still kind of emotionally abusive, and I hate them.
All right, fair enough.
You'll pay them back. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm playing on it, but my big problem right now is I've got a girlfriend. She's the first, serious girlfriend I've had since... Well, I've never had a serious girlfriend before, and things are great, and we're just starting to take it to a more physical level, I can get a boner, any other time, but, when I'm with her, and, I'll start to get a boner, and then, I don't know if we're taking too long, or if it's just, I'm thinking about it too hard, but, when we start to get more physical, and, she starts to go down my pants, I just lose it, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're anxious. That's what goes on.
You're anxious, but you're also,
Yeah.
What was that?
It's a flash.
It's a flash.
Of course. Nikki taking a picture.
you're anxious, but you know you're sort of you're an abuse survivor, and sort of your nervous system gets sort of affected by all that. Then it can be easy to sort of dissociate and to have parasympathetic reactions.
A couple of wine coolers.
Well, just get you realize you kind of get used to it as you calm down and get more accustomed being
close
to this
person. Zach, are you two in love?
Yeah, I mean, as much as I know about love, I believe we are. I've known her since, like,
it's,
4 years.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, okay. Well, here's the thing, Zach. This is one of those teenage feeling out things and feeling up things. You take it slow. It's sort of nature takes its course. You work it out. You got to use protection. You don't want to get anyone pregnant, Zach.
You wearing condom?
We weren't going to have sex. We were just going to do oral sex, but... If we we would use a condom, definitely.
But you lose the erection.
Can't get it going with the oral?
Well, no, like, she didn't even get down there. She just, like, started grabbing me and feeling me and stuff. And
oh, well, come on. That means it's time to head down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how you know.
I wouldn't feel nervous about, you know,
that's how you know.
About her running off or anything. I think that's kind of cool, actually. Bro.
If I'm ever flaccid, ladies, that's when you make your move down there. That's how you know it's time to make the move. Hey. Hello,
right
nothing
now.
Going on. Get going. Yeah. Do use a little chubbing up. Let's get down there.
A little thick man.
I'm 39 years old. The hand ain't cutting it anymore, ladies. And by the way, I got one of those myself. You know what I mean?
Break out the Duke.
That's
Duke. Just the word Duke gives you a boner.
Hold on.
Duke.
Yes, it does.
Yes,
you're
it
right.
Does.
It actually, yep. Feel that, Drew.
That's what you broke out when you kept saying, let me in. That's why I was
that's
running
right.
The other way.
Shh.
We're backing up, actually.
Just let me in. Okay. So, Zach needs to just sort of relax, a little repetition.
Yes.
It's really,
it's about closeness for him that feels overwhelming, and he's expecting abuse and intrusion and all this stuff as he gets anxious and overwhelmed and freezes.
Does it freak you out?
Hold on.
Not really. In fact,
that's good. All right, here's the point.
Yeah.
We can't really will this one away over the air.
No.
It's just look, no matter what age you are, if the relationship, it feels like you're moving a little fast, reel it in a little bit. And get back to a little, go back to second base. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's no big deal.
With my girl I've been with for years, we first started going out. I had the same problem. And
really?
And I loved
anxiety.
Her so much that the sex was just so secondary. I just loved her.
I got that with my 5'8" chick.
See?
I'm just...
Was Tracy talking? I got confused for a second. I heard she was Charlie Brown's teacher.
Yeah. True. And Drew's a man of such extreme passion that he doesn't understand that kind of bonding, that kind of relationship before the sexual conquest. Him and his 9 wives going at it constantly.
It's the only woman that ever happened to me with. I'm still with her.
All right. Well, God bless.
It's love.
Full woman there, Drew. But only one. Not enough to satiate your man-sized sexual appetite. All right. Where are we going, Drew? What'd I do?
Yes, he is a dude.
Six.
Drew will surprise you with his passion.
He's the most passionate dude.
What will I do with
it? He will hit you in the face with his passion. He will. Hey, no, he's a hungry, passionate, dear man.
Dear man.
Where are we going, Drew? Who are we talking
to? Six.
Oh, line six. All right. Cindy?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
My question was, is it safe to have sex after an abortion?
What kind of abortion do you have?
What do you mean, like?
How did they do it?
By vacuum.
And what'd they tell you?
Well, they didn't really tell me anything.
Didn't they tell you to wait a couple weeks?
Stay off that vagina for a couple of weeks?
No, they gave me some medication.
What medication?
They gave me some sort of medicine called Tetracycline or something. I'm not really sure.
Tetracycline. So they gave you some antibiotics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They'll give you a nice yeast infection.
Aren't you supposed to not want to have sex after abortion for at least a couple hours, maybe?
Well, it was kind of a miscarriage abortion. I needed to get it done.
I see.
So you were having a spontaneous abortion. It was incomplete.
Right.
And they went and finished it off.
Yeah, they went ahead and finished it off. Yeah.
Right. So you would have carried the child to full term.
Yeah, but I was having complications, though.
I see. All right, you're 20. Are you married?
No, I don't. I'm not.
Not
What's
bad.
The hurry here? Huh?
Yeah. Why don't you slow it down a little bit?
Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah, but still, Adam. Yeah, but still.
Yeah, right. I know your boyfriend and maybe one day husband is making a whole $27,000 a year fetching shopping carts at the Albertsons. So why should you two slow it down at all?
No, he doesn't do that.
What's he do?
Well, he works for concerts. He still stages and stuff.
All right. So, he's a schlep. He schleps around stuff.
Is he in the union?
Yeah, he's in some union. I'm not really sure which
he's
one.
He's making some bread, then.
Yeah, when he's working.
Yeah.
Well, on again, off again work.
Well,
he's a glorified goomper. I know how these guys work. Look,
yeah,
I used to be a goomper. Look, here's the thing, Cindy. How long has it been since you had the abortion?
Actually, I had it done last week.
Let's give it another week.
Well, let's give it another week. How about, little oral sex until just stay off it for another week. Can you do that?
The thing is Adam. He wants to try it again, have another kid.
I know. That's
the point we're making. We especially don't want you doing that.
Look, I know the guy, the first kid, the seed didn't take. He feels like a failure. You're 20. The guy doesn't have steady work. You guys aren't married.
What in the hell?
I think you got to crap out the kid before 21. Is some kind of, clock ticking? What's going on with that? Cindy.
Right.
Why don't you, you're going to marry this guy?
Well, hopefully one day, yeah.
Why don't you work on that first before you think about having a family?
Well, he already proposed to me. So.
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead and go down that path and get that all taken care of and tied up and then establish a family.
And what about you? What do you want to do with your life?
Well, I actually work at a hospital right now. I work for radiology. I'm a radiology aide.
Okay.
Also, the question is that he comes to me, and I don't know will it take any effect on the baby if I was to be pregnant again? Will there be any complications at all?
Well, you shouldn't be taking tetracycline if you're pregnant.
Well, when did he come to you?
Like 2 days ago.
Done come.
2 days ago?
But I already finished the pills, though.
All right, good. It's fine. Cindy,
it's fine.
You shouldn't be having kids.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Look, give it a little time.
Yeah, not yet.
What are you? Are you Mexican?
Yes, I'm Hispanic, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This is the problem with you folks. You're cranking out too many kids too early. You got to get that education. You got to get that money. You got to get that economic thing working a little bit.
I do have my education, so.
All right. Radiologist aide?
Yes, I'm not one of those girls.
That sounds like the world's greatest, greatest sports drink, doesn't it?
Radiologist aide.
I'm working myself up, so.
All right. Well, listen, here's all I'm saying, sweetie pie. I'm not trying to be a racist, but look. Here's the reality. No one wants to talk about this, but look, here's the reason Mexico's a dump. Too many idiots, spitting out too many kids, too young, before they have the money and the economic... Drew, jump in here.
Well, the stability emotionally.
The stability
too,
for everything. You wait a few years. That's all.
I'll tell you something.
They're very proud people, I know.
The Mexican families I've been exposed to actually seem, when I've traveled down this stuff, in spite of there being economic stress... These families look very stable and very happy.
They're happy. They're happy.
But they're happy because they're available.
It's a relative
thing.
They're happy for people. There's nine people living in a tire suite.
I know, but you compare that to that kind of family in this country and you see strife and
you say
abuse.
You're pretty happy for guys that are living in a tire swing and there's nine of them on top of each other.
Amazing.
I would be miserable because you look at it through the prejudiced eyes of a white man. Not me. Not me, my brother. See, you go, look at it. There's 15 of them living in a crappy apartment in Van Nuys, and you know what? They seem pretty happy.
No, they do.
They are
down in an island off the coast of, the Yucatan, and they're living in mud huts. Happy as can be. I mean, really seem very stable, very comfortable.
Here's the point. They're a culture that strong families, they do well by the family.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, economically, if you want to step it up a little bit, stop spitting the kids out at 19. And don't have, look, you're not married. The guy's got on again, off again work. You're getting your career going. You're 20. You're not an old maid. Give it a few years.
Plus, what are you going to do if you have a baby about your work?
Yeah, she's out of. She's not going to be able to go to work.
He's not.
He's on again, off again.
There you go.
Right. All right. Let's.
But good times.
Hey, but good times. Just because, you know.
Practice a lot.
It's good times. Yeah. All right. And by the way, anyone who does that, he already cummed in me. I don't want someone with that kind of grammar raising kids. That's all I'm saying.
She's educated, though.
Just give it a couple.
Done her education.
Done her education.
LA Unified product.
Just give it a couple more years. That's all I'm saying.
LA Petrified.
We'll take a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Yeah! Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. It's nine wives. Oh, yeah. All right. Brides of Destruction here tonight. CD is out. What's going on, Nikki? Is there some noise going on over there?
Camera over here. Cameras? I'm playing with my camera.
All right. Put it down. That's enough.
Gadget boy.
Gadget boy, yeah.
We're going to...
You can hear that, huh?
I hear everything.
I can see that. I can see that you can hear everything.
A pubic crab farts on a John many, many pubic miles lies, away. Yeah. Yeah, many miles away, and I
latest
hear it.
Of a cubic mile.
I hear it.
Yes.
True. Police, right? Yeah. Everything. I hear everything, and then it bothers me.
Yes.
I never like it.
No.
That's the problem.
Yes, no.
Yes,
no.
How much was that?
Si or no?
Yes. Well, it's $700 a syllable I've broken. We're breaking Drew's pay scale down.
That's $1,400 right there.
Yeah, we both get paid the same. Yeah. Except for I have to carry the show.
That's why Adam talks so much.
Well, no, it's just if I stop talking, the show stops.
No, he has to accumulate sufficient words
right.
that he gets paid the same as me.
We broke it down, and at the end of the year, I end up getting paid 18 cents a syllable, and Drew gets $736.
Good times.
Per syllable. Smart.
I'll just repeat that over and over.
Good times.
Good times, yeah.
Yeah.
Cha-ching, good times. Cha-ching.
So, Theo. Who are we going to?
Theo.
Theo? All right. Theo?
Hey, yo.
Hey, yo, you're 26. You have a Germany or Florida for us?
I do, and on top of that, I have a Germany and Florida theme song for you.
Oh, really?
Yes, indeed. I wrote it. I actually even tried contacting you through the Jimmy Kimmel Show to try to sing this to you months ago, but it's really hard to get through your assistance and such, so.
You're gay.
Yeah,
I'm very isolated over here.
Okay, so this guy made a video. And
wait a minute. Yeah. I'd like to hear the song.
Oh, okay. Well, I can start with that. Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida.
That's it.
Wow.
That's more of a ditty than it is a song.
That sounds like a Brides of Destruction song to me. I don't know.
You guys could cover that. Up the metronome.
We could. Can you give me a copy of that, and we'll get the metronome and get Tracy on there and write some chords over that?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Theo. Germany or Florida? Here we go.
Okay, so this guy made a video and wrote a handbook on how to approach families of recent deceased, that had recently deceased family members. To approach them on how to have sex, how to get permission to have sex with the corpse.
Oh, my God.
So you could bypass necrophilia laws or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's got to be Germany.
I got to go Germany on
Florida.
On this. Nikki, you going Florida?
I'm going Florida.
All right.
Wow.
That's crazy.
There's a big necro thing down there.
The man that wrote it?
Hold on. Okay. I think it's bigger in Germany.
All right. Who is
it? We got three Germanys and a...
Three Germans and a Florida.
One Floridian.
Floridian, yeah.
All right.
You're the Yid.
Theo?
Yes. The man that wrote it was, in fact, a German.
Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I meant. I meant Germany.
Yeah. A guy from Florida would be too busy humping corpses to write a book about it.
And evading the law.
Yeah.
They wouldn't think of planning to get around the law. Yeah. They just evade.
Hey, but what a great song.
They're doers over there. Yeah, we should probably hear that one more time. Theo?
Yeah.
Lay us the Germany or Florida theme on us one more time.
All right. Things are sick and twisted from too much sun and Nazis. Sex, meth, and death fetishes. Both of them have got these. Guaranteed not to bore you. Germany or Florida.
Yeah.
Well, wow. That's going to be a classic, bro.
Yeah.
It's like Fish Heads.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I'm a huge fan. I had to give it a
great song.
Thanks, Theo.
All right, Theo. I hate that Fish Heads song. Veronica?
Yeah.
I could do wonders with that.
You're 18?
Yeah.
And you will.
What's happening?
Okay.
Oh, my God, Adam, I love you, first of
Thank
all.
Thank you. Very, very okay.
Damn, dude.
You know, what happened to the days when people would call up for the rock bands? You know, now it's like, you know, Adam, I love you.
Well, look at the guy.
I know.
I mean, come on.
You got eyes, don't you? Drew got the passion, but I got the looks.
Cash register. It's,
this is a cash register,
Nikki,
right?
We're just a couple of jaded old rock stars.
Couple rock stars here. They're just like, yeah.
Look at the vitality of this man.
I'm alive. I got color in my cheeks. Yeah. I got a little.
Verve.
I got verve. I got zest.
Yeah, I always like that word, verve.
I got
vitality.
Moxie.
Yeah, moxie.
Moxie's another good word, yeah. Okay.
All right, Veronica, go ahead, baby doll.
Okay. So what happened was my boyfriend visited from South Carolina and for his spring break or whatever, and we're sexually active, okay? So while he was here, I got on my period, and then I finished my period on Saturday, but...
Thanks.
A little bit on Sunday, like, I don't know, like, for the most part, Saturday. I know it's kind of confusing.
Yeah,
nice. Got on my period on Friday, lasted till Sunday. Very confusing.
Right, okay.
Very short.
All right.
No.
Short period.
Thanks for sharing.
So you got on. Here's the thing about that period. You fall off that period, you got to get right back on it. You know what I mean?
Well, you get on it, yeah.
You get bucked off that period, you dust yourself off. You get a fresh pad or tampon, and you climb right back on that period. That's what my grandpa used to tell me.
Well, you know what I mean, though.
No, I know what you're saying, bro. Go ahead.
Okay. So I called, and I'm on birth control, so I called my doctor to get a new prescription, and I called on Friday, and they said that I wouldn't be able to get it until Monday or Tuesday, so... They had to give me, like, a physical until they can give me a new prescription. And so that would mean I would miss 2 days because I would have to start on Sunday. So I missed Sunday and Monday.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You're not good. You know, you got to be careful. Use a condom. But,
they already had the sex, though, right?
Yeah, my question is I had sex on Sunday. Yeah. And since I missed two pills until today, I took the first one. Mm-hmm. Could there be a chance that I might be pregnant?
Yeah, in fact, you probably ought to... What pill are you taking?
Ortho-tricycline.
Not good? Not good for the morning after stuff?
You can, but you ought to talk to your doctor about maybe doubling down on that tomorrow.
She doesn't really talk to her doctor.
Yeah.
You understand, most of us don't have... I don't have a doctor.
Somebody gave her the pill and made her come in for an exam.
Yeah, but they just bull lesbians at a clinic giving you the stink eye because you like a little penis once in a while. I ain't been to those places.
We tried to talk you out of the penis, didn't they?
Yeah, everyone who works at those clinics are just bitter lesbians, just big, bold, bitter lesbians at those clinics, giving all the hot, fresh chicks the stink eye for liking a little male once in a while. You know what I mean, Drew?
No.
A little
smoke.
Want
to head down to the mail room. You know what I'm saying, Prada? All right. Look, she's not pregnant. She just got done with her period. She not. Yeah. It's possible, but it's not.
And she is starting the pill soon enough, so it's probably
all right. It's good. Good times. Yeah. You know, there's that little thing where you're done with your period, but you're not quite done with your period.
Yeah, well, that happens all the time to me.
As a man of exquisite passion, you go right in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Nikki, you're a passionate
too.
Man,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
It's like a little...
Yeah, a little...
Some about that. A
little
know.
Thousand Island. not for me.
Not for me.
Really? No, no.
My way.
No, you got to get right in there at the top of it, too. Anyway.
My whole... Let's play it safe. Let's play it safe.
As a
man who likes a 5/8 wife, that's the whole thing. Hey, it's, this is Monday. I'll see you on Wednesday. See what I'm saying?
When your period's
Let's
over.
Make sure everything's good.
So I had to switch to the next wife.
That's right. You got rotation.
There you go. Now we know why the Mormons do that.
Right.
I bet Drew's actually, you know, really put some thought to this.
Oh.
He's got the calculations.
Oh, he has.
The problem is when a lot of women are together, they start having...
They start syncing up.
So you're going to...
They're not allowed to talk.
They're all going to have their own house. You're going to be like Rod Stewart.
Keep them separate. They got to work out like a system, like when the prisoners were at the Hanoi Hill. In a certain Knox.
So they lights from the Second World War.
That's right. They use a little semaphore. They get up on the roof with some colored flags. That's the only way they can communicate. All right, Drew, that's right. Keep them separated.
Yeah.
You don't need him gossiping either. Oh, he went down on me for an hour the other night. Really? Never does it for me. Yeah, now you got trouble.
Well, I wonder why
house.
That is. When they when they get together, they start syncing up. What is that?
Drew's going to tell you during the during
no
the commercial.
Knows.
I know. I'll tell you during the commercial.
Okay, I can't wait.
We'll be right back. All right. Well, that's the show. Covered some ground. Now I'm hungry.
Goulash.
Blood sausage.
No.
Chicken paprikash.
Where are those smoked almonds?
And get some smoked
almonds.
That
sounds good, too.
I'm going to smoke those.
Beer nut almonds.
All right. Brides of Destruction, everybody. Here comes the brides. Name of the CD out as we speak. I want to thank Nikki and Tracy for coming in here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
A good time, guys.
Had fun. Thanks.
Come back anytime.
Always a good time here.
Best of luck on the tour. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
He will be wearing a condom, yes?
He's a ribbed condom.
No.
Yeah. Say it. Listen to Drew.
I thought she said a ripped condom.
Say that he will be wearing a condom, correct?
Excuse me?
Drew said he should put some foil around his Johnson before he enters you.
That sounds like it hurts.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.